All right. I hope you got your Bible today. John 14. I want to talk to you for just a few minutes about what if we could take a look into heaven. What if we could take a look into heaven? And so let's read, if you will. You can read with me the first four verses in John chapter 14. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself.
Thank you, Lord.
That where I am, there ye may be also. And whether I go, you know, and the way, you know.
Amen.
I like that. I like that. Well, I'm not worried about it. I'm not worried about it.
Amen.
Amen. You know, the Apostle Paul said, if in this life only we have hope in Christ Jesus, we're of all men most miserable. The Christian life is not the Joel Osteen Christian life. It's not. It's not the whatever that guy, Futrick or Putrick, whatever his name is. It's not. The Christian life is a pilgrimage.
Yes. Amen.
Now, most people never think about the pilgrims coming to America, but I wouldn't have rode in that boat across the Catawba River. And it took them, what, Alroyd? 3 months. 3 months of water to get here. And then when they got here, they didn't know what. There's no motel. There's no hotel. There's no waterworks or anything like that. The pilgrim life is a rugged life. I like that song Ed sings about just being a pilgrim passing through this old world. But most everybody's life is a pilgrim life anyway.
Yes.
Most people are born not into great wealth or great power, great position. Most people are born not knowing what they're going to do in the future. Every life's a pilgrimage. We go through this. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. We don't know if we don't even know if we're going to live tomorrow. And if we make too many plans ahead, Jesus tells us like the old rich man. He said, "Thou fool." But as a Christian, our life may be hard. We may be on a pilgrimage, but we've got somebody to direct the way.
Amen.
We have a captain of the ship.
Yes, sir.
We have a shepherd. And the Bible doesn't tell us a whole lot about heaven or hell. It really doesn't. I think Jesus mentions heaven maybe 13 times in the Scripture, or the Bible does, 13 times. He talked more about hell than he did heaven, because he didn't want us to go there. But if the Word of God had told us exactly what heaven was like, we would not be able to take it. We wouldn't be happy here.
Right.
It's bad enough now.
Come on now. Yeah.
Knowing there is a heaven and we're going there that day, no sickness, no death, no pain, no sorrow, all these things. And it's hard enough to live down here now, knowing all those few things.
Amen.
If we knew everything about it, who knows what we might do? We might end our life. Now, God's shown us a little bit. There's all kind of movies, there's all kind of magazines, there's all kind of stories about heaven. People's got all kind of imaginations they think about heaven, you know, fishing, taking their dog, taking their cat, living beside a little creek in a log cabin. None of that's true. But we don't know everything. Those are nice things to think. Many books have been written about heaven. Many sermons have been preached about heaven. But Apostle Paul gave us just one little glimpse in Revelations chapter 14, verse 13, if you'll turn there. Revelations 14, verse 13. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead. Oh my goodness, what? Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Amen. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. Now, I've got several sermons. I preach about heaven, mostly it's time for funerals. But number one, I know Jesus is there.
Amen.
And wherever he is, that's heaven. And he said, I'm going and you know the way. And Thomas said, how do we know the way? He said, you know me. I am the way. And I know that's where the Father lives. I know that's where perfect understanding is. I know that's where perfect rest is. I know that's where that I'll know what God knows the way God wants me to know it. I won't have to wonder anymore. I won't have to pray about things. I have the mind of God. And John was never the same. The Apostle Paul said, if in this life only. But John got a glimpse of it and he said, oh, no, it's getting a lot better. Amen. It's going to be a whole lot better farther on. And did you know John was never the same after he saw that? Now I've heard stories about, I've read one time a little boy went to heaven, came back, told all this stuff. I don't believe that. I don't believe that. There was another guy recently, a couple years ago, wrote a book. He said he died for like 18 minutes and came back and God walked him through heaven. I don't believe that. I'm sorry. I don't believe that. And you can say so if you want to, but there's no scriptural examples of that. John saw it. The Apostle Paul got a little glimpse. And he said it ain't even legal to talk about what he saw. God wouldn't let him talk about it. It was so good. He said, I can't talk about it. God won't let me talk about it. Because he knew we'd be jumping off bridges and stuff. But I do know a few things I want to share with you. What if we could take a look into heaven? What would I say? Just a few simple things and I'll let you go. Number one, I think we would see that God wants everybody to go to heaven.
Amen.
God wants everybody. That's what you would see if you could go to heaven and see it. You would see in heaven everybody from all over the world, all kinds of people. Because John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world, that's everybody, that He gave His only begotten Son." God wants everybody. And then He said, God's not willing that any should perish.
Amen.
The good, the bad, the wicked, God doesn't want anybody to perish. But Jesus is the way.
Amen.
Jesus is the door. Jesus is the gate. Jesus is the curtain. Jesus is the shepherd. Jesus is everything to get in. And the Bible starts in the Garden of Eden. Mankind is created and lives in perfect delight. Perfect. Perfection. No cold, no heat, no trouble, no trial, no sickness, no wantings, no desires. It was perfection. He was given a good occupation. You know what his job was? Take care of this garden. Did you know he didn't have a hoe? He didn't have a tractor. He didn't have any weed killer. What was he doing? Well, he's just picking that fruit off and eating it so it wouldn't go bad. I don't know. But it was the best occupation on planet Earth. I'd like to have that job. Did you know mankind was given the best companionship that mankind's ever known in that garden. Not only did God make him a wife took that rib out, laid it down there, and made it into a woman. You know why he called him a woman? Because when Adam looked over there and saw her when he woke up, he said, "Whoa, man, I like that." Whoa, man. He had the best wife. He had the best animals. And he had God's companionship.
Amen. Yeah.
He walked with God and talked with God. And God came down personally and talked to Adam. I know that was in the garden. He had beautiful surroundings. They were all perfect in every way. We're coming up on fall. Did you know there was no fall in the Garden of Eden? Now, I know some of you people, as soon as I say that, those up from up north, you say, "Oh, man, hot." No, there wasn't any hot either. There wasn't any summer either. It's springtime all the time. Never a winter. Boy, I'm looking forward to that one. I ain't looking forward to winter. And next one, put something on my Facebook about snow. I mean, my goodness, let's eat the pumpkin first. My goodness, you bunch of crazy people. Now what it is, you just don't go out of the house. You sit in there and watch it. Other people have to go to work. Amen. But here, look, something happened, and something happens to everybody that destroys plans. Don't think you're any different. Get off of this "I feel sorry for myself" stuff. Man's days are few and full of trouble. Everybody has sickness. Everybody has death. Everybody has trials and troubles. And it came into the garden in the form of Satan. And Satan brought in unbelief, and he brought in rebellion, and he brought in greed, and it separated God and man. Because God can't look on that. God can't even be in the presence of that. Don't tell me you're a Christian and you live like you're going to hell. God ain't with you. God can't put up with that.
Come on, yeah.
You might backslide, but he won't let you stay that way. Don't give me that stuff. I know better than that. He's wore out many on me. Listen, God had to remove that man from that perfect place because of sin. And ever after that, the moment before he removed him, he started making a way that man could once again fellowship with God.
Thank you, Lord.
Yes. As soon as he came down and said, "What'd you do?" And Adam confessed his sin. God killed two animals to clothe Adam and Eve. They were sacrificed. They shed their blood for those two people. And even though God put them out of the garden, the wage of sin is still death. If we sin, even though we're Christians, it can still kill us.
Yeah.
People say, "Well, I'm a Christian. I don't know why I got cancer. What'd you do?" People say, "Well, I'm a Christian. I got bad health." Well, what'd you do? People say, "Well, I'm a Christian, but I got bad relationships." Well, what did you do? Let's quit blaming things on the devil sometimes. He gets a lot of credit, don't he?
Yeah.
And as soon as you put him out, he already had him on the road to Calvary.
Yeah.
The Bible opens up with man in paradise. And when it closes way over there in the book of Revelation, guess where he's at? Back in paradise.
Yeah. Amen.
And did you know God wants that for everybody?
That's right.
Everyone's going to sin. You're born a sinner. They didn't have to teach you how to lie. That come natural. They had to whip you to get you to stop. Amen. Well, I don't lie. You just broke your record. Any man married in here will tell you that. I ain't never been a woman. I don't know how bad they lie, but I know they do. Now, God started preparing a way to get to that new paradise. Man didn't do that. God did that. Now, on the way, man made some ulterior motives, and he created some side roads that are all dead ends. And because of sin, we lost paradise. And because of sin, if we don't let Christ pay for our sins through his death on the cross, we will not regain paradise. God loves everybody, but God can't live with everybody. He can't live with sin. Sin cannot be in his presence.
Amen.
That's his character. That's the way he is. He can't help it. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. First Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. Am I too loud? First Corinthians, Miss Essie's usually here, and Miss Essie's hard of hearing. She said, I like to come to hear you preach. I can take out my hearing aids. 1 Corinthians 2:9, but as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man. That's how I know those books ain't real.
Right.
Neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God had prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. Now, I want you to know that here's what's going to happen when we get to heaven. We will see what God has waiting for those who love him.
Amen. Amen.
See, we like to think God just a big old grandpa, he's just going to open the gate and say, oh, y'all all come in. But it's not happening that way. He wants everybody to. I remember, I was sitting there listening to that song, and I remembered they was talking about saying something bad about Jesus or something, you know. And I sat there and I got teared up. I thought, how many times did I make fun before I was saved?
Right.
How many times did I make fun of believers?
Yep.
How many times did I hurt their feelings with my old wicked tongue?
Yep.
How many times did I mock God? How many times did I deny Christ and say it was all a lie?
Yeah.
How many times? And God loved me anyway. And he loved me so much that he revealed himself to me through his son. Because why? He wants me to go to heaven. And did you know there's nobody on planet earth that God does not reveal himself to?
Amen.
Sometime before they die, God is going to reveal himself. And if they would accept that revelation, just looking up at the sky, a native's got a totem pole he made himself. He created him a god. And he dances around that thing. No prayers get answered. Nothing happens. And one night he looks up into heaven. He says, there must be a God. And he didn't create it. I created him. And he looks up there. And the moment he does that, God will begin to reveal himself and draw him. And somehow, some way, if he has to crash an airplane with a missionary on it, he'll get the gospel to that man no matter where he's at or that woman.
Amen.
Heaven is a prepared place for prepared people. Did you know that heaven is designed to please every single person that goes there? Heaven is beautiful beyond what we can describe. And we know the gates of pearl and the jasper and all these things, but it is beyond description. It's beyond it. Because it's not like earthly, it's heavenly. And then, did you know there's comfort in heaven in every way? There is no discomfort in heaven, neither word, deed, or way. There's all kind of discomfort here. When you go out in public, you go to Walmart today. Pitiful. I'm sorry we have to go to Walmart. But anyway, did you know we might say something that is a discomfort to people? We might do something that makes people discomforted. And the world's all about that. They're all about, you know, well, you hurt my feelings or you made me feel bad or something like that. But this is a sin-cursed world. There's a lot of discomfort here. People's going to hurt your feelings. People are going to disappoint you. You're going to get sick. You're going to have trial and trouble. You're going to be discomforted. But I got news for you. When we get to heaven, there's no discomforted people there. Revelations 21, verse 27. I don't know how y'all got so late. Why is it so late? Revelation 21, y'all must have sung too much or something. I don't know where I was at. Revelation 21, verse 27. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth. You see that? Defileth means goes against what God says. Neither whatsoever worketh abomination. That means that anything that is abominable God. That's a sickening, nasty, ugly thing, abomination. And or maketh a lie. But they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Did you know that heaven is a place of perfect holiness? Now, before I was saved, I didn't care nothing about holiness. Didn't want anything to do with it. Made fun of people that talked about it. Baptists used to make fun of those Church of God women. They wouldn't cut their hair, and they'd put it up in a bun and wear a dress down to their ankles and all this stuff, you know. And Baptist women used to make fun of them, and now all those Baptist women wish their daughters dressed like that. Yeah. Baptist men used to make fun of the Church of God, the holiness churches, you know, because they keep a good haircut and they dress neat and nice and they were polite and they tried to live godly and abstain from things that even looked ungodly. And Baptist men would make fun of them, and now Baptist men wish their sons were like that.
Yes.
Because we live in an unholy, wicked, vile place. You can't turn on television without seeing two men kissing or holding hands or two women kissing. And preacher, you're homophobic. No, but God is. And, I didn't curse it, he did. And, we live in a wicked, ungodly, people, profane and cursing and vile and worse. I grew up ungodly. Everybody I knew was ungodly. I was in that 10% that didn't go to church and didn't have a father and all these things, didn't live in a Christian home. And we cussed all the time. If we couldn't think of one, we'd create a cuss word. But we weren't nearly as vile as they are today.
Right.
We didn't do it in front of women. My mama never heard me cuss. That's right, I got saved at 23. My mama never heard me say it. My mama, she never even knew I drank until after I got saved. But now, it's rampant. Seems like the viler you are, the more the people like you. But I got news for you. When we go to heaven, it's a place of perfect holiness.
Amen.
It's so holy there won't even enter anything that's a lie or tells a lie. And that's way down on the scale of humanity is lying. It's a place of rest. All our battles will be over. Our struggles will be over. It's a place of perfect health. Hallelujah. New bodies.
Amen.
Jesus went up to heaven in a 33 and a half year old body. And the Bible says when we see him, we're going to be just like him.
Amen.
Glory to God, Brother Ron.
Amen.
No suspenders. No belts. My socks will stay up. Glory to God. You ever notice you get older, your socks won't stay up. Men get garter belts to hold their socks. It'll be a cold day before I wear a garter belt. I ain't joining the Marines. The Marines had to wear them. Amen. Here's something else. Well, I know there'll be few Baptists. It's a place of active service. It, according to one's faithfulness, will determine what service you have in heaven.
Amen.
You're not floating around on cloud playing a little harp. You're not going to be one of those little cherubs, which, by the way, those don't exist, those things they draw. But we're going to have service when we get to heaven.
Amen.
The Bible says we'll serve him day and night.
Hallelujah.
It's going to be a place of reward. The reward will be for those who were faithful in their lifetime. They're saved. Their son's going to be saved yet so is by fire. Their works will be burned up at the judgment seat of Christ. But they'll be saved because they just trusted Christ. And that's their whole testimony. But there'll be others who trusted Christ and lived it and walked it and taught it. And when they failed it, they'd admit it and repent from it and get back where they ought to go. And that's what heaven's going to be. If you don't like Christians sold out to God now because they make you nervous, you better not go to heaven.
Amen.
Amen. There's going to be a lot of those holiness people there.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I got a joke, but I ain't got time to tell it. Listen, Matthew 25 verse 41. Listen to this. Matthew 25. I'm getting there. Hang on. Matthew 25 verse 41 says, "Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed." Wait a minute. I tell that sinners down, they say, "Who are you to judge me?" I say, "I'm not judging you. He did that.
Yep.
I'm just telling you what he said. In the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels." Now turn over to Revelations chapter 20. Revelations chapter 20. I think it is. Yeah, verse 11. Revelations chapter 20. Look at verse 11. "And I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, whose face the earth and the heaven fled away. There was found no place for them. In other words, heaven, the sky, and the earth just gonna, the earth's gonna melt with a fervent heat. The sky's gonna roll back like a scroll. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened. And another book was opened. We just read that, the Lamb's Book of Life, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not written, found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. In other words, they were pulled up out of hell where they'd been all those years, and they stood before the throne of God, not Jesus Christ. That's where we stand, our works judged for reward or loss. They're standing there to be condemned, and God says, depart from me, I never knew you. And they'll be cast into the lake of fire. The unsaved will be shut out of heaven. And I didn't do that. God does that. And I don't determine that. God does. And God determines that on the basis of, do you know His Son? It's not all your Baptist, Presbyterian, Methodist, Episcopalian, Catholic, all these things. I'd rather you all be Baptists. I think that's why we got a river up there. We're going to do a lot of baptisms for them Methodists and Presbyterians and Episcopalians and Lutherans. But I got news for you. What you will be judged by is, do you know my Son?
That's right.
Amen. Yeah.
Jesus said, I am the way. He said, I'm going to show you the way. And so, one day, God is going to determine who gets in heaven and who don't. Now, ours was determined. Mine was March 5th, 1978, when I bowed my knee and said, God, I am a sinner. God, I ought to go to hell. God, I don't want to go to hell. Please save me. I believe Jesus died for me. And I didn't even understand all that, but I knew that. And I asked Him to save me, and He did. And He wrote my name in that Lamb's Book of Life. That was my judgment that day. All of my judgment was predetermined on Jesus Christ on the cross. He paid for my sins. The Bible says He laid on Him the iniquity of us all. And the only reason somebody doesn't go to heaven is because they say, God, you're a liar. You didn't do that for me.
Come on now,
yes. You might have done it for Him, but you didn't do that for me. I'll make my own way. That's who this crowd right here is going to be. You say they're here because they're drug addicts. They're here because they're drunks. They're here because they're profane. They're here because they loose live and are homosexual or whatever all these sexuals are now. And that's why they're going to be cast into hell. No, they are going to hell because they refuse to believe on the Son of Jesus Christ. All those other things are just byproducts of sin on the way to hell.
Yes, sir.
The only sin that will send you to hell and keep you out of this heaven is unbelief on the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't mean just believe that He did exist, which, by the way, a lot of them are denying that now. I told one day, I said, you have to tear up a lot of history books. There's more in the library about Him than there is anybody else. I said, there's more proof in the public library that He lived than there is that George Washington lived. Is George Washington a myth? But the condition would be, what did you do with my Son? Because He paid your debt. Y'all listening? He paid your debt. Now you refuse that payment. It's like you owed $10,000 to the bank, and somebody went down to the bank and paid your debt, and then you go down there and try to pay it, and they say, we got no record of your debt.
Thank you, Father.
A guy walked in here the other day with $10,000, said, apply this to Ron Robinson's account, and he paid off your debt. And Ron said, well, I'm not letting him do that.
That's it. That's
what I don't think Ron would do that. I think he'd skip out of there. Glory to God. Amen. But that's what you do when you refuse Jesus Christ. God's already paid the debt. It's paid in full. You got nothing to do except receive it. John 1:12. As many as received Him, to them gave He the power. That's right, to become the sons of God. That's it. That's my ticket. I don't have to be sick. I don't have to be dying and not die. I don't have to suffer forever and ever. I don't have to be punished for my rebellion against God. He was punished for me. He suffered for me. God laid on Him the iniquity of us all. The debt has been paid. When He went to die, He said, "It is finished." God had accepted the sacrifice. Now all I got to do is recognize it and say, "Thank you, Lord."
Yes.
But before I do that, I got to realize I have a debt.
Yes.
See, a lot of people get in trouble. They borrow money, buy things, and they act like they got no debt. They don't pay for it.
Yeah.
And they get in trouble.
Amen.
And there's a lot of sinners going to get in trouble because God's paid their debt, but they had a big debt. And they live and they act as if they have no debt. The wages, the pay for sin is death. Romans 6:23. I like that next part though. It says, but.
Yep.
Baptists love it when it says but.
Yes.
But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
I had a debt I could not pay.
Yes.
He paid it for me.
Yep.
Now you know what? The old devil comes up there. He comes to you and says, "You remember when old Ron Roddy, when I first got saved, people bring up my past, you know. And they get looking through them. What about this time? What about that time? Well, what about when you said that? What about when you did that?" And I tell them, I say, "Yeah, but God washed all that out. It's been washed by the blood of Jesus. And if you go up there, He's going to say, 'What debt are you talking about?'"
Yes.
Paid in full by the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, I don't know a whole lot about heaven, but I know this. I know I don't want to go to hell. And I know it's got to be better than hell. And I know that what Jesus said, Jesus died to save me from hell, so it must be a terrible place. And I know that going to heaven is a privilege. It's the highest privilege any human being could ever have.
Amen.
If we could look into heaven, we'd realize immediately how foolish it is to live a life for this life only.
Right.
It's foolish. When I was 20, I thought I'd live forever. Actually, I thought the Russians were going to blow us all up. But I thought I personally was invincible. And you did too. Of course, they ain't like that no more. 20 years at home hiding, they're afraid they're going to get the bug. But we were invincible. I remember I drove cars that I just about had put together with duct tape and clothes hangers. And I'd drive them 110 miles an hour. I'd race the police. I outrun the police more than one time. Don't try that, by the way. I didn't worry about sickness. 20-year-olds don't wash their hands. We'd go to the burger joint, blow the horn, little girl come out there and take a horse, she'd bring it back out there and we'd go, fries. Some of y'all still like that. But as I get older, I realize how foolish it is to think I'm going to live forever. I'm not going to live forever.
Amen.
This camping trip proved to me. I asked my wife, I wasn't fit for nothing yesterday. I wasn't fit for nothing. Just dragging. Listen. I'm not going to live forever. And it's foolish to think I'm going to live forever. I'm not. And you're not going to live forever. And it's appointed unto man once to die. And after this, the judgment. And you're a fool if you think things like that. I was a fool and God had mercy on me and sent somebody to give me the good old story of Jesus and His love. Instead of going to heaven, the unsaved will go to hell. And did you know, just as God has prepared a place for those who are saved, He has prepared a place for those who are not saved.
Come on now. Yeah.
Jesus rules into heaven. I'm going to. Satan is in the other place. Just looking into heaven. If I look into scriptures, I read about heaven, it gives me courage and strength to go on and face whatever I've got to face here, because I always know that no matter how bad it gets, I've got heaven.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
And don't you think you're immune from bad things? And I've walked to the cemetery and preached brothers and sisters, my own brothers and sisters and my mother's funeral. And you think, well, how can you do that? But how can you do that? I said, because I know this is not the end.
Right.
I've got heaven. And you can get sick and you can go to the hospital and you can lay there and the doctor says there ain't much hope. You say, hey, I've got hope in Christ. Live or die, I'm a winner.
Amen. Amen. Yeah.
Doctor, you do whatever you can and the rest is up to him. And if I live, the glory to God. If I don't, hallelujah, anyhow, I'm going to heaven. God's done all he can. He's done all he can. He's done all he can to get us to heaven. And you know what? I can't get you there. Your mama can't get you there. Your daddy can't get you there. You know what it's going to come down to? You.
Amen. Amen. Come on, brother. Yeah.
And don't tell me that the power of God doesn't touch you. It does.
Yes.
And you feel his presence. Especially during preaching. God chose foolishness preaching to save those that believe. And in teaching the Bible and reading the Bible and just seeing natural occurrences, you see God in action.
Amen.
Don't tell me you don't believe in God. You're lying.
Right. Come on, bro. Yeah.
That's why they say there are no atheists in the foxhole. When the bombs are falling, everybody's a believer in praise.
Yeah.
And today, you know what you got to do? You decide. Whether you go to heaven or hell, that's your decision. If it was up to me, I'd come down there and slap you 3 or 4 times,
right.
Put you on the floor and say, pray. I ain't never letting you up till you pray.
Amen.
But then you'd pray, just get me off of you, and you still go to hell. What, here's what you got to do, real simple. Admit you're a sinner because all have sinned and come short.
Yes,
I'm not a bad person. You may not be what the world calls bad, but you've sinned. It only takes one sin to qualify to be a sinner. Sin can't go to heaven. All have sinned. There's none righteous, no, not one. So if you've ever sinned, you qualify to be saved. And then it says, if thou shalt believe in thine heart on the Lord Jesus, not your mama, not your daddy, not yourself, but on the Lord Jesus. And he said, if you'll confess with your mouth that God has raised him from the dead,
amen.
Just say it. You say, I don't understand it. None of us do. He gives us the faith to believe it after we say it.
Amen.
And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And then you know what you get? Paid in full. Here's your ticket.
Amen.
When the train comes by, your final destination is heaven.
Hallelujah.
Flu. Virus, hail, lightning, tornadoes, hurricanes, floods, crime, hatred, bigotry, racism. That stuff doesn't even bother you anymore. Because you know your final destination after this little short life is going to be the eternal place called heaven.
Amen.
Let's stand. Father, thank you for paying our debt.